think that's what you're looking at with him. You look at a Nick Easley and a Matt Vandenberg, they're more, I don't want to say strictly possession receivers, but they are more guys that are going to be in the middle of the field. Whereas this, you know, Matt Corral, I think, is a guy that can stretch the field. And I think coming into the, you know, into the season, that's probably what they're going to look for him to do initially. And then hopefully, as he builds up in the playbook, he can do even more than that.
Rob Howe with us from HawkeyeNation.com for a few more minutes on a Thursday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. You were in Chicago, at least on day one when the Hawkeyes were there. What was your main takeaway? Is there anything that you learned in Chicago?
I relearned that when you leave the Hyatt McCormick and get on 55 at like 5:30 at night, you're going to be waiting a while. And I've done that before, and I decided to brave it again. So that was a bit of a challenge getting out of town. But you know, I think the interesting thing for me, guys, and I know you guys have talked about it, we've all written about it, is the quarterback situation. I'm surprised it hasn't gotten more run during the off season. And maybe that's because neither guy really distinguished himself in the spring or did anything. It wasn't like both guys were lighting the world on fire and, you know, got people excited. I think people were more worried than anything and probably have been putting it, trying to put it out of their minds and going into the summer. But now we've gotten to camp that starts on Sunday, and one of these guys has to win the job. One of these guys has to succeed C.J. Beathard, and who is that going to be? And I think it was interesting that, I know Kirk told us not to make much of it that Stanley was number one on the depth chart, but I think they could have just as easily made those guys co-number one if they were really even. I didn't see the logic to putting one over the other, especially when I asked Kirk on Monday, you know, are they going to, you know, share first-team reps? And he basically said they would. It just seems like Stanley's got a little bit of a leg up going into camp. Now, we've all seen in the past that you never know what's going to happen in camp, but it just it looks like where we were in the spring, it seemed like the thought process was they're going to be dead even going into camp. Now I just have a feeling that Stanley has that leg up, whether it's something he did this summer or just something, you know, when they went back and watched film of the spring, they just noticed things that he was doing better. I'm not quite sure, but I think my money would be on the true sophomore to win this job unless Les Wiggers can really take a step forward this month or next month, excuse me.
Rob, we talked to Kirk Ferentz about this at Media Days, and he brought it up during his podium session as well. But the getting back to the graduate transfers, this is now 3 in 2 years. Do you think that this is something that this roster had to do out of necessity, or is this something that the coaching staff is now comfortable with moving forward?
I think it's a little of both. I think certainly Ryan Caluzzi gave them an example of what can happen when you do use this role. Last year, I think we could all agree that he was one of the most important players on the team. I don't know what they would have done without him in a lot of those early games, especially. But I think it still has to be, you know, their principles, and we hear it a lot, and we hear them talk about culture and program and fit and all that, and I think that's ultra important at Iowa, as it is at every place, but even more so at Iowa. And I think if they can find guys that they feel are fits, that help them as graduate transfers, I think they think that this is something they can... I mean, they've lost Rudock, they lost Derek Mitchell, they lost Jonathan Parker, they lost Maurice Fleming to this. I think after that keeps happening, you have to start looking at what you bring back. And as Iowa being a developmental program, when you lose guys, like those four guys that I mentioned out of your program, that stings. Those are guys that you put a lot of time and effort into building up to be good when they're juniors and seniors, and then they leave. You got to see if you can do it on the other end. Now you got Matt Quarles that somebody else developed for 3 years. Can you add on to him for 2 more years? Can you add even more to what James Butler's been able to do and get those guys in a developmental program to help you right away?
Is this trend good for college football, in your opinion? Because then, as Kirk told us Monday, it's not going to get to the level that basketball has, but it certainly is increasing, especially at the skill positions. Is it good for college football?
I think it's another way that people have been able to beat the system, so to speak. I went back, and I know you guys probably have checked this out too. When Butler joined, and then again when Quarles joined, I just kind of did a little research on, you know, the graduate transfer rule and kind of when it picked up steam. I think Russell Wilson was the first one that made a really big impact. And it's kind of just built up steam since then. And I don't think it's going to get to the level of where basketball is, because there's just more freedom of movement in that sport, if you will, in the transfer, in transferring. But with football, I think this is a continued, it's going to be a continued thing, because I think it's becoming more accepted. We talked about Iowa accepting it. I think it's becoming more accepted across the country now, where this is going to be an avenue that schools are going to look to in the spring and the summer to add to their roster. Anything that can help them win with the money that's involved, they're going to do it. Is it good? I don't know if it is one way or the other. I think it's good if a kid goes to another school like Maurice Fleming did last year, got a chance to play right away, had a really good season. I think that the idea that they're doing this to go get a major that they doesn't isn't offered at the school that they're transferring from is the farce of it. But I think the if they're going somewhere and it's a place where they can play, maybe where they couldn't have played here, and I think that will be the case with Derek Mitchell and Jonathan Parker. If they can go somewhere for their last year, it's such a small window for these kids. If they can go somewhere for their last year and get a chance to play and finish out their careers in a positive light, I don't see anything wrong with it.
Outside of Iowa, Jim Delaney had a couple of announcements regarding FCS football and Friday night FCS scheduling and Friday night football. There was Mark D'Antonio talking about how trying to rebound from a terrible, terrible season. PJ Fleck and Jeff Brohm were new to the scene. What else caught your eye outside of Iowa about the Monday and Tuesday at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place?
Yeah, I think all those things you mentioned were kind of some of the highlights of the two-day period in Chicago. I think as much as we, you know, are intrigued and entertained by PJ Fleck, he's got to do it on the field. He's got to win up there. It's not like, you know, the previous coaches there haven't won. They haven't won at a high level, but they've been relatively successful. And he's got to build on that. I mean, the talk is great, but he's got to go in there and win. And he's got to do a good job of recruiting and selling that program. So it's always interesting to me when there's a guy like, when Brewer went to Minnesota, people were kind of captivated by him and he didn't get it done. Fleck's got a little bit better track record. So we'll see if he's able to take that program to the next level, make it a competitor consistently in the Big Ten West. And then Harbaugh is just weird. I haven't been able to really connect with that guy on any level. Not that he needs me to or I need to, but he's just kind of so out there. I just wonder, for him now, you know, he lost so much to the NFL last year. He is recruiting at a high level, but he's going to have to start winning now. The honeymoon period, I think, is over for him, and I think he's starting to feel that a little bit. Michigan's got to win. I mean, Penn State won it last year. Ohio State's always going to be there. They've had some success since he's been back, but he really needs to take it to that next level, or we're going to start, I think things will get ugly in Ann Arbor, because he's not going to deal well with people criticizing him, and I think it's going to come if he doesn't start getting that thing to get a championship under his belt and start getting himself into the national picture at the end of the season.
Rob Howe, HawkeyeNation.com, with us here on a Thursday edition of the program. I do want to ask you about Sean Welsh, who came out last week and announced that he'd been battling depression for the last several years, and you wrote a great piece at HawkeyeNation.com about your own struggles. What did that mean to somebody like you to hear Sean Welsh and to have him stand up in a room full of strangers and tell his story?
I think it's been great, Todd. It really has been, and I know you're somebody who's tried to educate people, get word out there about mental health and mental illnesses, and I think it's something that escapes a lot of people. And for a guy that's, you know, been successful on and off the field to come forward with struggles like that and try to represent, you know, a group of people that are going through this illness is really commendable. And it was great to see him in Chicago, too, with the reporters around him and people wanting to hear his story and him be able to get that story out there to people, that it's okay, that, you know, you can beat it, you can deal with it, you can, you know, it's not a sentence for you where you can't overcome it. And it was good. I mean, I'm working on a feature on him that hopefully I'll have by the end of this weekend or early next week, and I talked to his mom for quite a while. He's just a really fascinating kid, I really commend Iowa how they handled it too. I don't know as many coaches in the country would have been able to handle it as well as this coaching staff did. They listened to what the kid was going on with the kid, and helped him out. And it's a really good story, and I hope it doesn't end, you know, with in Iowa City. I hope he's able to carry that on. I think Mike Colas asked a good question with him in Chicago. He asked him, you know, are you concerned with how much scrutiny NFL draft picks or NFL prospects go through at the combine and, you know, the pro days and all that? Are you worried that coming out and talking about this may hurt your draft stock? And Sean just said, hey, if a team is not willing to, you know, look into it and find out about me and know that I'm okay and can deal with this, it's probably not the right organization for me. So hopefully he goes to a place in the NFL and he can continue to tell this story and work continues to get out there and people get educated about it.
And he said the same thing to us when he sat down and joined us, which I thought was a really great answer to give. Last question for you, Rob. Filling in for me last Friday, love it or leave it?
I loved it. I'm going to play the fence here. I love sitting in. I did not love the weather. that was not something I loved at all. I'm glad Alex and I got out there and everybody else at Coach's Corner got out there unscathed. But that experience I could have done without, but I did enjoy doing it, and hopefully I'll be asked back in the future, and we won't have to deal with talking about the weather.
I was just, I think I was loading my golf clubs into the car, and I got the alert on my phone, and I thought, oh boy, I bet these guys are having one hell of a show. So it sounds like I missed a great show, but hey, Coach Ferentz was listening, so you had that going for you.
Great timing as always, Todd.
Well, I said I was worried that he was listening because he knew I wasn't there that day. So we never did solve that mystery. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. Certainly hear more from you on the KGYM airwaves, especially during football season. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys. Have a good afternoon.
And, of course, my thoughts and prayers and condolences on the loss of Lucas Duda to the Tampa Bay Rays. It's Dom Smith time, baby. I'm telling you, fantasy baseball players, he's not a huge – here's the thing, though. Dom Smith is not a huge home run guy, but he hits and gets on base.
Do you think that Mets fans are really that broken up about losing Lucas Duda?
No, I don't. By the way, Stephen Piscotty flew out in his first at-bat against the Colonels tonight. So working his way back to St. Louis from injury, and saw a photo online of him signing autographs and taking care of the fans tonight at Dozer Park in downtown Peoria. That Colonels doubleheader is underway. They're back in town, is it Saturday, I think, to play a series with the Clinton Lumber Kings. So not too much longer, we'll have the Colonels back at Veterans Memorial Stadium. 6:24, we'll step aside and take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to have another big board update for you. And I have not forgotten about this. It's something that we talked about in hour number one before robot umpires hijacked the conversation. But there is talk, not really, but it's a high-profile college coach talking about overhauling the bowl system. And I want to find out whether you guys think this is a good idea or a bad idea. The Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues on KGYM after this.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road, in your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting ad price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Come rock the chalk in downtown Iowa City. This unique chalk art event is presented by Midwest One Bank, and the fun is free for the whole family. Come see beautiful chalk art displays, pick up some chalk and create your own masterpiece, and enjoy excellent live music. Join in this family celebration of creativity Friday, August 11th at the corner of Clinton and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Chalk this one up to a super duper time with Midwest One. Get all the details at rockthechalkic.com.
Ah, the important things in life. $2 bottles of Cold Bud anytime. Happy hour, 5 days a week from 3 to 7. An outdoor patio and an array of excellent choices for good eats. That's Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. They fully support your need for drink, food, and sports, with an abundance of televisions dedicated to the teams you rabidly follow. Come by Coach's Corner Sports Pub off Mormon Trek, next to Fairway and the U of I Credit Union, Iowa City's home of the Cardinals. But Cub fans are still welcome.
Yes, Dominic Smith has 15 home runs, but he's doing it in Las Vegas in the Pacific Coast League. It's a hitter's ballpark, hitter's division, hitter's league. But I like him. I had him in one of my fantasy baseball teams. I think I actually traded him to Rob Howe, of all people, in the now, well, I wouldn't call it infamous, Julio Urias deal. But
why do I have a feeling you know the name of the ballpark in Las Vegas?
Cashman Field. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. It's not anywhere near the strip, and it's a dump. Actually, you know, the main reason that I know that is the Cubs have played an exhibition there during spring training the last several years. So they want to try to get a new ballpark built there, but they don't want to do anything because they keep playing footsie, or MLB keeps playing footsie with them over expansion. And that, look, I want to see how the NHL and the NFL do in Las Vegas, but I can't see baseball, which is played during the summer, unless you are in a dome, which baseball is not meant to be played indoors. But you're not playing outdoors in Las Vegas unless it's a night game, and even then, no.
They could have a retractable roof like Arizona.
You can go see the Las Vegas Athletics take on the Tampa Bay Rays, or you can go to the MGM Grand and gamble all night. What are you going to do? I'll give me the MGM Grand, but we'll see how things go there. All this talk about expansion, I don't know. They got to figure out what's going on with the ballparks in Tampa and Oakland first before they do anything. 319-366-1600, that's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. It's been busy today, and I have a feeling it will be busy again when we get to this topic that Nick Saban has broached. But before we can do that, time for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs. Here's Kyle.
The Iowa football team got some help at receiver today in graduate transfer Matt Quarles from New Mexico. Quarles had 11 catches for 180 yards last season in a run-first, run-second Lobo offense, and he's got 2 years of eligibility remaining. After a six-hour rain delay at the Iowa State baseball tournament yesterday, Johnston and Linmar were able to make it onto the diamond for their Class 4A quarterfinal, and it was Johnston coming out on top, 7-1. Iowa City West and Cedar Rapids, Washington were next up with their first pitch at 10:40, and when the game went final around 12:45 in the morning, it was West that claimed a 12-2 victory. There's one Metro team in action at Principal Park today, with Iowa City West squaring off with top-ranked Dyersville Beckman in the Class 2A semifinal. Beckman leads 7-0 late in the sixth inning. All the rain that threatened that tournament yesterday made its way to Peoria in time to get the Colonels and Chiefs series opener postponed, so they're playing a doubleheader tonight with Game 1 starting at 6 o'clock. We'll see the same pitching matchup we would have yesterday, with Tyler Beardsley on the hill for the Colonels taking on Fredaris Parra. If the Colonels' rotation holds form, it'll be lefty Evan Sanders starting Game 2. Other Colonels news today: after a pair of moves yesterday, the Colonels signed outfielder Jimmy Kerrigan, and he's going to join the team on Saturday. The Twins are off tonight as they travel to Oakland, so there's no baseball for you. Keep it right here for some good old-fashioned ESPN programming on all three KGYM frequencies.
Saw this earlier today, but he's got a story up on the Gazette's website now about this, but Jeff Johnson reporting that Cedar Rapids Kennedy's Matt Burst has committed to the Iowa baseball program. So another pickup for Rick Heller out of the Cedar Rapids metro area. And we mentioned yesterday the win that the Hawkeyes had over the Iowa Valley League All-Stars. You had Daniels and Lizarraga both pitching well in that. And the Hawkeye baseball team's actually in action again tonight. I'm supposed to be taking on the Red Top Sports Group at Duane Banks Field. I think it's a $5 admission for adults and a $2 charge for kids. The Hawkeyes trying to shake off a little bit of the rust as they get ready for the trip to Asia for the World University Games. So that's going on tonight. So there's a little bit of baseball to be played in the area. And we wish Rick Heller and the Hawkeyes the best as they prepare for the National Baseball Congress World Series in Wichita, which is coming up next month as well. So we'll set the table for this. We come back, we're going to talk about this. But Nick Saban, of all people, of course, you can say this when you're the head coach at Alabama. Nick Saban wants college football to be more like college basketball. And we'll explain exactly what he means when we return after this. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
Mary, you're glowing gold.
I know, I joined the Fuel Rewards program and got rewarded with instant gold status at Shell.
And now your body radiates gold?
Yes, and I save 5 cents a gallon on every fill every day.
5 cents a gallon? Wow.
And gold is all the rage this season.
Oh yeah.
Get rewarded with instant gold status at Shell with the Fuel Rewards program. It's free to join, so join now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details. Doesn't actually turn bodies gold.
When I grow up, I want to make a pizza with the most cheese and the most pepperoni at the nation's best price. $6. It's going to be the best pizza ever.
Sorry, kid. It's been done. Introducing the new Little Caesars Extra Most Bestest Pizza. A large pizza with the most cheese and the most pepperoni at the nation's best price.
But my mom said...
Shh! This much cheese and pepperoni is what dreams are made of. Come get a large, hot and ready Extra Most Bestest Pizza for just $6. Only at Little Caesars.
Pizza, pizza.
At participating locations plus tax.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
If there's one thing the pros at Advance Auto know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Parts and Batteries. Steven, how can I help you?
Hey, Steven, I'm wondering if you have any deals on oil this month?
Yeah, we're running 5 quarts of Penn's oil, conventional or high mileage, for $19.99, the pure liter filter.
Okay, sounds good.
And be sure to sign up for Speed Perks, even more savings.
Awesome, thanks.
Now at Advance Auto, get 5 quarts of Penn's oil conventional or high mileage motor oil and a pure liter filter for just $19.99 after $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details, also at participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores.
6:34, welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann, taking you up until 7 o'clock in ESPN programming tonight. And we've been talking about this since the 4 o'clock hour. We brought it up and then we never got around to it because people wanted to talk about, of all things, robot umpires in Major League Baseball.
Robot umpires.
Exactly.
You didn't use the robot accent.
I figured you would step in and step up to the plate and take that mantle from me. But I saw this earlier today and I thought, okay, this is out there. And then the more and more I thought about it, the more and more I thought, okay, someone will bite on this. They'll think that this is a fascinating topic of discussion. And Nick Saban, and again, you can do this when you're the head coach at Alabama and you've got a ton of success and you don't care what the system is that you're playing with here. You can suggest all these radical changes. Nick Saban would like the Power Five schools in football to only schedule other Power Five schools and basically expand conference play. So in the Big Ten, in theory, you play a 12-game schedule. You would then play a 10-game conference schedule with two Power Five non-conference games. And Saban's reasoning behind this is, more games with a higher level of interest because people are going to want to watch two Power Five teams as opposed to Iowa, North Texas. And then you blow up the bowl system and you get rid of all these 5-7 teams and 4-8 teams that get in on these special qualifiers or whatever, and you basically treat bowl season like the NCAA basketball tournament, where you're taking teams sort of at large. And now critics of this are saying this kind of would really kill the group of five, group of six, whatever you want to call the basically the non-Power Five schools, because no way that you've got Western Michigan playing in the Cotton Bowl last year against Wisconsin if this is the setup. You're just going to be taking 8-win, 9-win Power Five teams and giving the shaft to the little guy. But your thoughts?
I think that that's the biggest problem, where you have non-Power Five teams who have shown that they can play at that level that won't get the chance to do that. And that's what that was my biggest concern or takeaway from Jim Delaney banning FCS teams at the time, a year ago, from being on Big Ten team slate. I, as a college football fan, enjoyed seeing those matchups with North Dakota State playing Big Ten and Big 12 teams, and seeing Illinois State get a shot, and you and I playing Iowa State and Iowa, and those kind of crossover matchups. And I just don't understand why we think that we need to make college football more entertaining from a regular season standpoint. There is no regular season in American sports where every single game matters more than college football. You lose in the first week of the season, your season could be done. And I love the fact that it's that way. And for these big power conference teams, especially Alabama, Nick Saban has the luxury of running whoever he wants out there. He has so much depth, so much talent, that in those first couple games, they can go out and play whoever they want because they're the best team in the country. And they have enough talent to be able to get over the hurdle of being a little bit rusty right away. But developmental programs like Iowa, like some of these teams in the Big Ten, like Minnesota, and the non-Power Five teams, pretty much everybody else in college football other than Alabama, they don't have that luxury. Those first couple games, depending on which program you are, serve as your preseason game. And you need those first couple games to know what you have. And I think eliminating that and just playing Power Five teams would really not work for anybody. And like you said, it would completely kill the non-Power Five conferences. It would make them into effectively another FCS.
Speaking of Alabama, I guess you could say Nick Saban's in a hurry to get things done here. I don't think anything necessarily is going to happen, but this is the quote that he told ESPN earlier today. You eliminate the 6 wins to get in a bowl game, and now you can have a different kind of scheduling that is more fan interest, more good games, bring out the better quality team. And whether you expand the playoff or have a system where it's like now, we take the top 12 teams and decide what bowl game they go to. Just take them all. In this scenario, there would be more opportunity to play more teams in your league, as well as to have more games that people would be interested in.
I'm failing to understand what his idea for the bowl system is, because he doesn't really go into any detail on what he would do with the bowls. So he's saying that only 12 teams would play in any kind of postseason? Is that his idea?
I would ask the head of the bowl association, except he stiffed
here?
Us in Chicago.
Oh, no, he never showed up.
He was on his way, and then he was there for 20 minutes, and no one ever saw him. I don't necessarily... I think this is probably leading to fewer bowl games, but... instead of a bowl game featuring teams from the Mountain West and the MAC, this features more Power Five on Power Five action, if you will.
Well, that's what we get already.
Which is ironic, because Nick Saban's not exactly stepping up and scheduling Power Five teams. It's Alabama's homecoming week. You know, let me get on the phone and bring Ohio State down here. They're calling Furman. Or Georgia Southern, just like every other team in the SEC does. So I think this is a little bit of Nick Saban taking advantage of who he is and where he is. And nobody's going to criticized Nick Saban for saying this. And Jimbo Fisher at Florida State has said some sort of similar things about revamping the bowl system, I think, and basically getting rid of these 6-6 win teams. Stuff like, look, I don't think if you win six games, or especially if you had a losing season, you should go to a bowl game. But again, the TV money dictates everything. And if there's a window on December 27th for a bowl, the RNL Carriers Bowl or whatever it is, and it's going to put a little bit more money into the pot that teams get, they're not going to say no to that. And then these bowl games are, it's one of the things that I wanted to ask Wright Waters about in Chicago, and then he no-showed, is the teams that lose money going to bowl games. Because there's more and more of them every year.
There's a lot of them.
It's tougher and tougher for teams to break even because they've ticket guarantees, things like that. You've got to sell, you've got to buy X number of tickets, guarantee X number of sales, and then once you get the bands and the traveling parties and all of that, the expenses add up. Iowa's done a relatively good job of keeping costs in check. Of course, they also get that stipend from the Big Ten that helps. But, A, it's never going to change. This isn't going to come to fruition. I just want to know what's the ulterior motive. What's the end game here for Saban? Because I don't think he would be bringing this up if he didn't think that there was going to be some sort of discussion or some sort of change when everything is said and done. So I just want to know, what is Nick Saban trying to get out of this? Where does this benefit him?
I think that he wants the college football playoff to expand. And I'm trying to think what angle that would present for his football team, because they play more games. And there are the national champion, if they play in a conference, any other conference but the Big 12, they're going to have to play 15 games. So with his team as deep as it is, they're best suited to play more and more games than pretty much anybody in the country. This one isn't so clear, though. I'm trying to figure out what the ulterior motive for him is, because you know what the ulterior motive for him not liking satellite camps is. You know what the ulterior motive for him not liking the early signing period is. This one isn't as cut and dry.
Yeah, the satellite camp thing was very clear. He didn't want people coming down into his neck of the woods and taking recruits out from underneath him.
Right, and he wants the status quo where recruits from the South really can't go visit a team in the North until August of their senior year. So that is very much works for him. And same with the signing period, where you see him kind of poach recruits right at the end, right out from underneath those schools. So that was very obvious to me. This one, it's almost like he's just sort of talking to hear himself talk. Maybe that's his ulterior motive.
Saban doesn't strike me as the type of guy that talks to hear himself talk. But again, he's one of the... Is there anybody else that when they open their mouth in college football, and maybe Jim Harbaugh comes to mind, where when they speak, you automatically assume, okay, what are they up to?
You said college football or college sports?
I'll say, let's stick to football here.
Jim Harbaugh's probably
Saban
the only other
and
one.
Harbaugh.
You know where I'm going in college basketball, right? Think is same stature as Saban, yet just in college basketball.
Calipari or Patino?
Calipari.
Yeah.
Every time he speaks, I mean, he is a wonderful salesman, but every time he speaks, you're just wondering, okay, what's he trying to pull here?
319-366-1600. This all has a snowball's chance in hell of coming to fruition. Don't worry if you're a big fan of the Alamo Bowl. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. Or the, let's pick a random one. A couple of them are...
The Cure Bowl.
A couple of them are done, though, right?
Miami Beach Bowl is now the Frisco Bowl.
That's right. They moved that one. But there's still hope out there for lower-tier Big Ten teams to get to the New Era Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium.
You really would never want to go to that one, would you?
No, because it's terribly... That's probably a more expensive trip than the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, probably true. New York at that time of year.
Terribly expensive. That time of year, it's cold. No one wants to play a bowl game in the North.
I
now
agree.
People can say, well, it's Yankee Stadium. Okay, but it's the new Yankee Stadium. There's no history there.
I don't understand why they play bowl games in cold weather situations anyway. Isn't that the point of a bowl game? If you're going to one of these lower tier bowl games, the only advantage is that you're going to go somewhere warm.
5775 says, I hope the Alamo Bowl doesn't go anywhere. Iowa won't have a bowl to go to then. Well, bad news for you. They're no longer affiliated with the Big Ten. And the Hawkeyes haven't gone to the Alamo Bowl since 2006, 2007.
They lost. Any word
they
on
lost
whether
to Texas.
The Insight Bowl is still affiliated with the Big Ten? No,
no,
it's not?
Because it's bowl game, which we talked about a little bit in Chicago, is now the what used to be the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, and then the Buffalo Wild Wings
Cactus Bowl, maybe?
Folks became the Citrus Bowl sponsor, so now it's known as the Cactus Bowl. Yeah. That was the Iowa-Texas game where Bevo got spooked, and they had to take Bevo away for a little bit.
What spooked Bevo, I wonder?
Some sort of fan behavior.
Okay, that makes sense.
I don't know. And the ill-fated Dominique Douglas reverse that Ken O'Keefe, one of the few times that Ken O'Keefe decided he was going to get exotic with the play calling, and it didn't work. And also, Andy Brodell, one of the few bright spots in the game for the Hawkeyes that day, and then he got back to the team hotel without talking to the media. Where's Andy Brodell? He left already. That bowl game trip was I like San Antonio, though. It's kind of an interesting city.
Never been there.
Iowa won't be headed back to the Alamo Bowl anytime soon, which is probably a good thing. I wanted the bowl guy completely stiffing us is probably one of the that's probably the only bad thing that happened while we were in Chicago. For 48 hours in Chicago.
The worst thing that happened to us was the bowl guy stiffing us?
I think so. What?
Yeah.
There were no equipment malfunctions. Everybody showed up. We got PJ Fleck, Ferentz, the three Iowa players. We got a ton of ESPN, Fox Sports guys, Laurinaitis, Braylon Edwards. The worst thing that happened was the bowl guy, which we didn't really even want to talk to. But we said, schedule the bowl guy. And it's a big deal. Wright Waters, he's the chairman of the Football Bowl Association. Big deal. We'll schedule it, and if we got to use him, we got to use him. And then he never showed up, even though he was supposedly, he's there right now.
No, he's not. Is he wearing an invisible cloak?
There were times on the Chicago trip where I wish I was wearing an invisibility cloak, but we're not going to go there. 6:49, we'll step aside and take a quick break when we come back. The Regina game at the state baseball tournament has gone final. Kyle will have that for you, as well as an update on the Colonels and more on your final big board of the evening. And then it's off to ESPN programming tonight at the top of the hour. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
Gentlemen, JCPenney is celebrating Black Friday in July. This Friday and Saturday, save with amazing spotlight deals at Black Friday prices, like up to 60% off brands like Stafford, J. Farrar, Foundry, and more, including big and tall sizes, and select items like $7.99 St. John's Bay polos and shorts for $9.99. Plus, this is the only time of the year you can stack on your coupon and save an extra $10 on top of Black Friday prices. Hurry, and Saturday. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Coupon valid 7/26 to 7/29 on select items in store and at jcp.com. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000 mile mark. And right now, you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional motor oil and an STP filter for just $23.99. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's time for some straight talk. You love your phone, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm watching highlights on it right now.
But I'm guessing you don't love your big old expensive wireless plan with all the mystery fees and data overages on your bill every month.
Now, tell me about it.
Well, what if I told you, Greeny, that you could keep the phone you love but pay a whole lot less every month?
How do I do that?
Just switch to Straight Talk Wireless. You can actually keep your exact same phone, your exact same number, even your exact same network, but for a whole lot less than you're paying now.
Boom, that's a home run.
Out of the park.
Bring your own phone to Straight Talk Wireless. Unlimited plans start at just $45 a month with nationwide coverage on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Visit iowastatefair.org. Check out the official I Love the 90s music compilation on iTunes and Amazon. I Love the 90s Tour. One night, all the hits. All the hits. Saturday, August 12th at 8 p.m. Iowa State Fair Grandstand in Des Moines.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
6:53. Welcome back to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM KGYM, bringing you just a few more minutes of local programming tonight. Tomorrow, we're going to be on the road again in Iowa City. It's the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire. Back at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. We can't promise that there won't be any severe weather this week, but I don't think there's any in the forecast. I'll be back
there. That's good news.
I'll be back there. I'm looking forward to returning to Coach's Corner. And last week, Rob Howe filled in rather admirably amid all of the storm warnings and whatnot. So I will get the gang back together. That includes Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom. And who knows, tomorrow we could have some sort of blockbuster trade to be talking about with him, whether it's the Cubs or whether it's another team that's trying to remain in contention in the pennant race. The non-waiver trade deadline for Major League Baseball coming up Monday afternoon. 319-366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. And speaking of trades, today's poll question at KGYMradio.com involves the Minnesota Twins, whom you can normally hear on 107.5 FM all summer long. What should the Twins do, buy, sell, or stand pat as the trade deadline approaches? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. They sponsor our poll question every day. Twins, I think, should probably get what they can for whoever they've got on their roster at this point.
It's an easy decision at this point, right? Because they're 49-50. They're under 500 now. Cleveland, I'm not going to say, is taking a stranglehold.
It has more to do, in my opinion, with the Royals getting blazing hot and the Indians still being really good. Your window was there. You weren't really supposed to contend this year. You surprised even yourself. And now let's start losing some games and get a better draft pick next year, because this ain't worth it.
You saw the pieces that are there. You have Miguel Sano, who's having a breakout year. The future looks bright, and this team isn't in any position to win. So I agree. I had said all along that even if they are somewhat in the race, if they're pushing for that second wild card spot, You got to think about selling if you can get a package for a guy like Irvin Santana or one of these other pieces that would make you an offer that you couldn't refuse. Now, I think that like you said, this is a situation where you take what you can get.
Well, I know what we need to get. A final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Kyle Mann in studio with us now. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa football team got some help at receiver today and graduate transfer Matt Quarles from New Mexico. Quarles had 11 catches for 180 yards last season in a run-first, run-second Lobo offense, and he has 2 years of eligibility remaining. After a six-hour rain delay at the Iowa State baseball tournament yesterday, Johnston and Linmar were able to make it onto the diamond for their Class 4A quarterfinal, and it was Johnston coming out on top 7-1. Iowa City West and Cedar Rapids Washington were next up with first pitch at 10:40, and when the game went final around 12:45 in the morning, it was West that claimed a 12-2 victory in the latest game in tournament history. There's one Metro team in action at Principal Park today, with Iowa City Regina squaring off with top-ranked Dyersville Beckman in the Class 2A semifinals. Beckman grabbed control of that game early and cruised to an 8-0 win that just went final a little bit ago. They're headed to the title game. All the rain that threatened the Iowa State baseball tournament yesterday made its way to Peoria in time to get to the Colonels Chiefs series opener postponed, so they're playing a doubleheader tonight with Game 1 starting at 6 o'clock. We'll have the same pitching matchup we would have yesterday, with Tyler Beardsley on the hill for the Colonels taking on Ferdarius Parra. If the Colonels' rotation holds form, it'll be lefty Evan Sanders starting Game 2. In other Colonels news today, after a pair of moves yesterday, the Colonels signed outfielder Jimmy Kerrigan, and he's going to join the team Saturday. After our show now, no Twins game. Keep it here for ESPN programming.
Colonels were winning the last time that I saw a score in that game with the end of the third inning. Score remains 2-1 Peoria right now. Steven Piscotty in the lineup for the Chiefs. We'll see how they do in Game 2. We'll talk about it tomorrow from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. For Kyle and Alex, thanks for listening, and we turn you over now to ESPN programming.
Throwing it back to the last great decade of the 20th century, I Love the 90s Tour.
Vanilla Ice.
Starring Vanilla Ice.
Cinderella, cut it up one time.